Thank you very much. Today, being a Remembrance Sunday, you've heard our Bible reading. And I'll begin by saying that God hears the cries of the suffering. God hears the cries of the suffering. We bow down our heads and pray. Ever-living God, we remember those whom you have gathered from the storms of war into the peace of your presence. May that same peace calm our fears, bring justice to all peoples, and establish harmony among the nations through Christ our Lord. Amen. God hears the cries of the suffering. The pain and labors of those who suffer unjustly does not go unnoticed. Similarly, those who get hurt or suffer incidentally, and for some who give up their lives, is not forgotten. For that reason, we'll remember them. Wars and oppression and misery are mainly the work of man. It flows from fear. It flows from insecurity. It flows from hatred and self-centeredness. It flows from selfishness and selfish ambitions. And these bring pain, suffering, death, and tears. And when the misery of all of this crystallizes, we hear a cry. And that cry is always a cry for help. Now, the background to the story that was read by Duane a short while ago from Exodus chapter 3 is this. 70 people, descendants from Jacob or Jacob's descendants, 70 people altogether went to Egypt. At that time, Joseph was there already with his wife and two children. Of course, and Jacob himself also went. So 75 in all went into Egypt. But the Bible tells us the time came that another king rose in Egypt, who did not know the works and achievements of Joseph. And he looked around and saw that the Hebrews were multiplying. They were growing in number. In fact, they were growing so much that they became scared. So he said, you know what? If we do not take any drastic action, a time will come that an enemy may rise and want to fight us. And who knows whether these Hebrews will side with them against us and overthrow us. For that reason, we should find a strategy. And that strategy is to make sure that we can subjugate them. That strategy is to make sure that we can enslave them to the point that they can never come up and fight us and overthrow us and rule over us. What was it addressing? Fear and insecurity. At the time, though the Hebrews were multiplying, they were not harming them. They were living comfortably, peaceably among them. But as because they were afraid, the fear, the threat of something which was unknown made that Pharaoh pass a law that every child born to the Hebrews should be killed. So the midwives in the nation were charged with the task of killing every child that would be born. But the Hebrew midwives, because they feared God, they couldn't do that. And the Hebrews kept growing in number. And then when the king realized that he couldn't stop the increase of the number of the Hebrews that way, as he promised, as he proposed to kill them at birth, he decided that every child that is born need to be thrown into the river Nile. The Bible doesn't tell us whether people actually did that. But at least we know of one, a child, a Hebrew child, male child, who eventually came to be known as Moses. The Lord said, throw them into the river. So he was put in a little basket and thrown in the river. Clever way, isn't it? Right. And obviously, if you read the Bible a little bit, fast forward the story, the king's daughter found this child and adopted him. And when he adopted him, he said, okay, find me a nest. And they went to bring Moses' mother to look after Moses. And after Moses reached by winning stage, about 6-7 years old, he went back to the palace. But one thing that was very sure was that Moses knew where he came from. It appears that he never forgot that he was a Hebrew. Why am I giving you this background? I needed to give you this background for us to know how unjust the law that was passed to kill people was. There was no threat, but fear and insecurity. It wasn't God's initiative that people should be killed this way. So we want to dispel this idea. Sometimes some Christians even believe that it is God's will that people should have war. It's never true. God is the God of peace. God will want every man and every woman to live in harmony. That's always been his plan. And wherever there is injustice, God will want justice to prevail in that land. That is why sometimes nations will have to, or government will have to stand up and say, this is injustice, it's not good. So we have to fight for that so that justice will prevail, so that peace will prevail. On this background, we know that this nation has fought 2 major wars and, of course, many other minor wars or battles, some still going on. But in both cases, history tells us that they had to rise against injustice. And sometimes people had to give up their lives for that. But as they give up their lives, they give up their lives so that you and me can live. I remember a story that is very close to my own heart, that my father went to the last war. He went with a group of people in his battalion. He was one of the few that came back whole, unmaimed, probably lucky, probably blessed. Some came limping. Some came with their limbs gone. Others did not turn up. I saw people that I met and psychologically messed up. Some became recluse. We say casualties of war, but they did that so that you and me will live in peace. So today, if we are standing here talking about Remembrance Sunday, we are pressing home the heart of God against wars, against oppression, against miseries, against the work of man that flows from fear, insecurity, hatred, and self-ambition that result in pain and suffering, that result in death and tears. And when these tears and these cries rise up to God, God hears the groaning and prayers and remembers. And as these rise up to him, the Bible says it concerns him. If you pick our Bible back to the preceding verse to chapter 3 of Exodus. We're going to chapter 2, verse 24 to 25. Said, God heard their groanings, and he remembered his covenant with Abraham and with Isaac and with Jacob. So God looked on the Israelite and was concerned about them. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within the bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. What are we reading into this? God is saying, who will go for me when there is injustice? Who will go for me when there is oppression? Who will go for me when there is misery in this world? And as you sat here, as we remember our fathers and our mothers that have given their lives, and those who are still suffering, and as we remember their siblings, their generations that are still grieving for the loss of loved ones, God is saying, who will go to rescue people? Or who will go on this rescue mission when there's injustice? Today there are wars in Iraq, wars in Syria, wars in Afghanistan, wars in many other countries, in Africa. Some part of Africa is not a small country, it's about 54 countries. So if we say Africa, we have to say where. Wars in many places. In Somalia. Wars in southern Sudan. Wars in Congo. And you ask yourself, you go through and you find the source of all this, and it's all about injustice, fear, anxiety, insecurities, selfish ambition. But God is concerned about the misery and oppression and suffering and death of his people. For that reason, he will come to their presence and rescue them. He will come to their presence and rescue them. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, home of the Canaanite, Hittite, Amorite, Perizzite, Hivite, Jebusite. God said he has come to rescue people. And sometimes you may say you are a pacifist. You are against war for whatever it takes. Yes, you have a case. But the case is, who will go on this rescue mission? God will stand and say, I will not allow injustice to continue. So if you are a pacifist and say, okay, I'm against war for whatever it takes, so let other people suffer and die, then whose side are you on? I'm not a warmonger, folks. I'm only trying to tell you what the Bible wants us to begin to think. I'm just trying to throw some grains of sand on your brains. It might tickle you a little bit, but ask yourself, who will go? So if it tickles God enough, if it concerns God enough, these are the words that he says, it concerns me. It has come to me. I've heard you. So somewhere along the line, somebody is crying in Africa. Somebody is crying in Iraq. Somebody is crying in Asia. Somebody is crying somewhere around the world because of injustice, because of war, because of suffering, because of misery, because of pain. Somebody, maybe in our own nation, crying and weeping today, Remembrance Day, remembering somebody, and nobody there to stand with him or her. Are you on God's mission? Or you are just on your mission? Who is going to go for God on this rescue mission? But God needs someone to be available to be sent to deliver his people, to remove them from oppression, suffering, and servitude. God needs somebody. And verse 9 says, "And now the cry of the Israelite had reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now, go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." You see, God said, "I have come to rescue them." But God is not going to appear in the sky or under the earth or some whirlwind or something. God needs human beings to deal with human issues, right? Exactly. So God said, "I have come to rescue them." But he was talking to Moses and he said, "Now I am sending you to go." So if God need to rescue, God need to do something, God need to send somebody. He need to send you to go. We send our soldiers to go. Our governments take the flak. It's a very painful thing, you know. Because one of the things that I learned as a child, my dad used to tell me, is that before you go to the war front, I'm sure it's still the same, you write a letter. Literally, it's like your last letter. And you put it in an envelope and you give it to your field commander. And they keep it somewhere. And when the event happens, they'll bring it. So you are writing your death warrant. And you are told face to face that, you know what, we are going to fight for justice. We want to destroy the enemy. But we want you to know that you may or may not come back. That's frightening, isn't it? But then people said, "Yes, we want to go," because they know that they're going to go for a good cause. And God says, "I've come to deliver my people. But I want to send you. So now I now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." God needs someone to be available, to be sent to deliver people, to remove them from oppression, suffering, and servitude. Sometimes we, like Moses, will tinker with the edges. Let me explain this. You see, Moses from childhood knew that he was a Hebrew. He saw the pain that his people were going through. He was in Pharaoh's home as Pharaoh's daughter's son, prince of Egypt. Had all the privilege, trained as an Egyptian and everything. But he knew his people. He knew he was a Hebrew. He knew that these people ought to be saved, ought to be delivered, ought to be set free. The oppression needed to be relieved. But look at how Moses did it. One day he was walking and he saw an Egyptian guy beating a Hebrew guy, and he intervened. Tum, tum, tum. He just killed that guy, buried him, and filled with his arm. I call it tinkering with the edges. How could he just beat them one after the other and extinguish all those people? He couldn't have done that, could he? He needed something greater than that. He needed a strategy. He needed something bigger than that. He needed to join forces to be able to do that. You cannot just get up and tinker with the urges or just do a little bit and then not stop. And stop. If you want to do it, you have to go all the way. So the second time when he was going to try it again, he was reminded that I'm not like that Egyptian that you killed and buried. So he remembered that, oh, this task is bigger than I thought. So what did he do? He ran. When he saw the enormity of the task that he had to deal with, he ran. He wouldn't even face it anymore. And sometimes it's like us. When the cry of help comes, when the cry of injustice is beamed on our televisions, You become emotional just for the moment until the next program comes and we forget all about it. We become all excited until our soap comes in or our favorite football game is on or something else comes and we forget all about the cause. Or as soon as it's taken off the television, we've forgotten that there was a cause that we've been called to respond to. Who will go for the Lord? We don't want to tinker with the urges or try to forget about responding to the plight of the oppressed and the suffering. In Moses' case, he was gone all the way to Midian, somewhere up there in the desert. Got a wife, making children, having a new profession, being a shepherd, or a subcontractor, if you want to put it that way. He was enjoying himself. Then God had to draw his attention that actually the problem is bigger than you think. And the cause is bigger than you know. But the justice in there is mightier and it's after the heart of God. If we respond to injustice, if we respond to relieve the oppressed, the poor, if we respond to relieve the suffering of people, we do what God will want us to do. Because that is what God will come to do, but he will need you to do them. So today on Remembrance Sunday, we take the story of Moses once again and remember what God did. God first sent an angel. I don't know what the angel was doing in the bush somewhere. But then he just went. And somehow in the bush was on fire, wasn't being consumed. So Moses was thinking, what? What's happening? This is unusual. I really want to go and see because it's got to be burning. So he had to go a lot closer. And then he heard God's voice. So sometimes God needs to bring some spectacular things sometimes in our way for us to think about the issues that matter most to the heart of God. And today on Remembrance Sunday, I want to remind you that if you do nothing at all today, when you go home, pray for our armed forces, our Navy, our soldiers. Pray for all the people, all the professions that alleviate suffering and pain. For as they do this, these people relieve people of pain and they do what God wants them to do. As you go home today, also pray for people. Because sometimes I watch the television and I see people old. And they're probably scratching a picture of maybe their husband or their wives or their son who then died in war at the age of 16, 17, 18. So think about it. All those years they've carried the pain, the hurt, the sense of lostness in them. They knew they went for a good cause, but they're also suffering. And God says, I've heard the pain, the cry, and the suffering of my people, and I've come to rescue them. But it needs you. You have a part to play. The least you could do is to pray for these people. The least you could do, if you know someone, to go and sit by them and just have a little chat. Have a cup of tea. Hear their stories. Sometimes they're telling their story alone to you is relief enough for them. I used to have a next door neighbor. She's since gone to glory. She was then 92 or 93. As soon as she sees me coming from work, I'm in trouble. Another 3 hours, I have to stand there and have a chat. And she would tell me all the story about her husband, who was in the forces. And I'll listen to that story time and time and time again. I can tell you all, but not today. And that was helpful. So today I want to encourage you, folks, that God wants to alleviate pain. God wants to rescue people. But he needs something to attract your attention. So perhaps today being Remembrance Day will be a day that God is using. It's your burning bush. It's your fire in there that God is saying, now I'm drawing your attention to the fact that something really is happening around the world. And you've got to take notice and pray. We live in peace in this country. We live in a place that is relatively calm. Sometimes our only problem is that we are quick to say this island is so full. Surprise, surprise. Hey, let us open our hearts to the stranger, to the foreigner, to the ones who are suffering, to the one who needs our help. For God says your prayers, your cries, your tears has written to me. And when Moses looked around, God was telling them, look, I am the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob. Meaning I am the living God. I'm the God of the living. I am interested in real lives. I'm interested in real people. Because I am alive myself. And I want you to know, where are you, Moses? Moses said, here I am. Or here am I. So the question is, today God is saying that, look, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Where are you? Are you going to say, here I am? Or are you just going to ignore it? Oh, it's a Remembrance Sunday. We wear poppies. That's it. We go through the motions. Is that it? But when we respond to the living God, we should know that the word that he said to Moses was, I will be with you. I will be with you. If you look at verse 12, it says exactly that. And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the signs to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. I will be with you. So when God wants to send you on an assignment, when God is appealing to your heart and conscience, I want you to understand that he will be with you. But we know Moses hesitated, didn't he? And we could be hesitating ourselves. Like Moses, I can't speak. I am not eloquent enough. Fear will prevent us. We are not educated enough. We can't write enough. Even though we can do all the social network writing, but we can't write enough. Are we not rich enough? These are our words. But God says, I'll be with you. And this will be the sign that you worship me on this mountain. On today being Remembrance Sunday, what is the sign for us that God is with us? What is the sign for us that God is remembering those who have given their lives for us to live in freedom? What is the sign that God is remembering those who are hurting, those who are maimed, and those who are psychologically damaged? What is the sign? Brothers and sisters, if nothing at all, we are privileged to have the sign. The least we can do is to wear this 50p, a pound, whatever you want to give, to show your support. We thank God you look around and somebody, Ruth Leary, made these beautiful things. We thank God for her creativity. But this is a sign, reminding us. So you watch the telly in the last 2 weeks and you haven't seen the sign and you haven't even given a penny and you're living in this country and you're enjoying the freedom and the justice and everything that you have. You may hate this country. If you don't like it, leave this country. It's as simple as that. There are many better countries out there. If this country is not good enough for you, leave. It's good for me. That's why I'm here. Some of us, our parents came here to better themselves and brought us in, and we have bettered ourselves too. Some too were born into it, and we thank God that we've been born into it. But please, this shall be the sign. And I will say this to put grains of sand on your brains. Never let another year come and not wear a poppy. If you're not British, that is fine. But we're not talking about Britishness. We're talking about responding to the mission of God. The heart for the oppressed. The heart for the suffering. The heart for those who are crying. I don't think the government can give 10 million to National Legion or something, but it's just to let us remember. That's why we say Remembrance Sunday. Because God said, look, your prayers have come to me. That means God said, and I remembered my covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So Remembrance Sunday was not invented by the British government. Really, we have to remember. And God uses that word many, many times. So this is the sign that you come and worship God on this Monday. So today, if you come to worship God, hey, that is my story for you. You have an assignment from God. Everyone has a God-given assignment and purpose in life. Wherever God's people are oppressed and suffering, He will assign someone to deliver them from their misery. And I would say you have an assignment from God. Because if there are people suffering around us, it is God's duty to bring relief. And God is not going to come from heaven to do that. He needs you to do it. And sometimes I thank God for people in the medical profession, nurses, ambulance, and all those amazing people. See, these are professions that flew out of the heart of God. You got to have a heart after God to want to do this. These days, people go in for as a career or as a last-ditch option or a way of earning money or a way of living in this country. But I believe from history, as I have read it, people had a passion and compassion for people. That's why they went into these professions. That's why sometimes the government take advantage of them, don't pay them much because they started as Christians. Christians don't want much, isn't it? Yeah. Anything goes for Christians. If they started as trade unions and radicals, they would have been getting more money. I'm not being a politician here. But I'm telling you some realities here. But we don't remember its Christian backgrounds, but we remember these people for what they do. The principles that is after God's heart still remains in the professions that we are talking about. You have an assignment from the living God. God repeated said it in verse 13 to 15, that I am. I want you to understand, Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me. This is my name forever and ever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. The living God has sent me. And if the living God has sent me, he said, go and gather the elders. Join hands with someone and give support to occasions like this. Join hands with someone and give support when there is suffering, when there is pain, when there is oppression. Sometimes you can't just do it alone. Like Moses, he would tinker at the edges. You can't stand on your own. Sometimes some of these things are bigger than you think. The sources are more powerful, more stronger than you think. So you need to join hands. So even in our church, we say, look, we want to have acts of love. We want to look for the homeless. And then you come and you're looking for people to go and look for the homeless. And you see only one person going to look for a homeless in the whole of Greenwich Borough. That's amazing, isn't it? So you call the elders. Join hands. So this church should be compassionate. This church should open our hearts to reach out to those who are vulnerable. And I thank God for the pastoral care in our church. That we thank God. I mean, ladies here, we thank God when you were suffering on crutches and hobbling from first floor to the ground floor on crutches. I don't know how you did it. But this church was not just only praying, but practically there for you. Claire had a baby and the church was there for her. She was overwhelmed by the support. And many people, if you ask, if you cry, your cries will be heard and support will be there. If you are home and suffering and you don't tell the church and you don't even want us to know, we cannot help. You cannot come back. And so this church only favors tall people and short people are ignored. We don't do that. This church opens our hearts for everyone. So let us know what is going on. Behind the scene, we reach out to the suffering. We reach out to those who are in pain. We reach out to people who need our help in many, many other ways. This church is for people. Our heart is open. We represent God well. And we do it wholeheartedly if you give us the chance. So, what can I say on Remembrance Sunday? Just to end this story, I will say this. That let us not be too comfortable in our peaceful environment like Moses was. And hesitate to respond to needs when they arise. Moses had to leave something behind to do what God was calling him to do. His assignment was clear. Go and rescue my people. And the assignment for us is very clear. Let's go and do something. And sometimes the rescue of people is not only a practical thing as we see it. Sometimes it's a spiritual need. And there are so many people around us that who have no knowledge of God, who need Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But we feel so comfortable. On a Wednesday, we'd rather stay at home and watch our football or watch our favorite program. And we don't want to even come and learn a bit about Scripture, because sometimes our problem is that we don't know what to tell people about God, where in the Bible we have to open to them, how to present the gospel to them, or we don't know enough about the Bible. But people have opened their hearts and said, look, we want to teach you. I want you to know and understand. We don't have absolute knowledge about the Bible. But we understand something about God's heart. And we open our hearts to learn from God. And we want to share it with you. So on Wednesdays, 7 o'clock. Just be here for a couple of hours. In fact, the studies is actually between 7:30 and 9, an hour and a half. You can't sacrifice that to know more about God. Your God is only a Sunday God, right? Or once a fortnight on a Friday, if you're at home and you're a woman and you're nursing a baby, you can't come and learn from 12 o'clock to 2 o'clock. And the amazing thing is that every day in your inbox, some readings coming to you, say, read something. Easy peasy. And that too, you will not. Because if you pick these things up, you are able to be confident in yourself to tell people about Jesus. Because you, I mean, it is so painful. I've seen so much death. That about 3 weeks ago or two, maybe 3 Sundays ago or something like that, my nephew was buried. A guy, only 33-year-old, with a lot of life, working in the customs, senior manager, just died, right? And it's so painful looking at death and looking at them in the face. I know they have no future. They have nowhere to go, just dead. And people are just hurting and grieving. But what makes me happy is when I know that somebody has a living hope. So Pat, of our challenge to you today on Remembrance Sunday is that the cries and the tears of my people, the groans and the suffering have come into my ears, and I've come to rescue them. But go and do something about it. So what assignment has God given you that you are still not holding, you're still not fulfilling, and sitting here and doing nothing? The challenge for you is that today, make a commitment that you want to be a Bible student so that you know about God seriously and share with others, and make sure that after you've believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, you and your household will be saved. Not just you, your household. Come to small group. Read your Bible daily. Pray every day. God bless you.